James Citizen,
the show that brings you the real stories of the courageous men and women who defy their government and say no to forced medical procedures and the ever-expanding control of government over daily life. I am your host, Alan Campbell. By the time you're listening to this, thousands of New Zealanders will have worked their last day at their current job. They'll have been forced to leave, not because they have broken the law, not because they are bad people, not because they are diseased or unclean, but because they have dared to defy their government. Because they have had the courage and integrity to stand on their principles, their beliefs, their understanding that their body is theirs, and no power on earth has the right to force them to partake in a medical experiment. Yes, there are those that will say, it's not an experiment. Billions of people around the world have taken it. While it is not the participation rate that defines an experiment, in some ways they are correct. An experiment would mean it was being carried out under controlled conditions, with the purposes of the testing and discovering something. Well, plenty has been discovered, but the vast majority of it is ignored. The media hypes up the efficacy rates, playing down the fact that even if the initial conclusions are correct, efficacy declines rapidly. Many countries are now saying that you're not vaccinated unless you've had three shots. Some, like Israel, are on their fourth. Four shots required to keep the privileges the government deems you worthy of. Governments are now openly saying that there will be a requirement for six monthly shots, a mandated subscription service backing up the largest transfer of wealth in history. The media completely ignores and diminishes those who have had their lives destroyed, either through heartbreaking adverse reactions or the loss of loved ones. Never before has sudden death been so expected. My family, like so many others, had previous generations that fought for the freedoms that we once enjoyed. Men and women that paid a horrible price in mental and physical injuries. Many paid the ultimate price, laying down their lives for their country. We celebrate and thank them every year, here in Australia and New Zealand on Anzac Day, and other countries on their own special day, Memorial Day, Veterans Day, Remembrance Day. We have failed them. Today's youth get the shot so that they can enjoy their youth, drink with their mates, go to summer festivals and concerts. Where previous generations laid down their lives for freedom, today's generation lays down their freedom for some temporary fun. In some ways it is understandable. It is easier to understand if the enemy is a foreigner. Easier still if the fighting is on foreign fields. It is harder to understand if the enemy is not a foreign army, but rather your own government. It's hard to come to terms with the fact that your own government is taking away your freedoms, while at the same time talking about kindness and protecting you and your community. We have failed them because we have not understood the level of deceit and propaganda that our education system, our institutions, and our government was capable of. For this episode, I had the privilege of speaking to a man that has already paid a heavy price and will sacrifice even more over the next few weeks and months. A man of courage and integrity. A man that understands, that absolutely gets, that if not now, when? If not him, who? Not for him, but for his partner, for his child, and for the opportunity for any person in the future to call themselves free.
Thanks for joining me, Diego. It's really good to see you and hear from you, and appreciate you taking the time. So just to set the scene a little bit for the conversation, I suppose, you obviously live in north of Auckland in the Warkworth area. You've got children. I'm not sure how many.
Yes, one. He's 3 years old.
One child. Okay, brilliant.
Yeah.
You're Italian.
I'm Italian.
Yeah. On Telegram, you've written, sacrifice is essential, so I choose it with care. If that's been translated correctly. I see you've also created a program called The Children's Journey, which I'm certainly interested in hearing more about. And I also understand that you're about to lose your job, which is the downside of the fight that we're in, I suppose. Before we get into that, though, I guess I'd like, if you could perhaps tell me a little bit about yourself and how you ended up here in New Zealand.
I live in Australia from 2012 to 2016, where I met my current partner. So we went in UK together and we lived there for 4 years. And then we decided to come here like last year in December. So we did the isolations, MIQ, and then we came out. And then we wanted to stay here because their parents are living here. So it was easy for us. That's why I ended up here in Matakana. They live very close to us. And now we are here. So we're studying. I did my diploma in psychotherapy at AUT, and they're supposed to start the master, but unfortunately I can't do the master because I won't be able to fund my study, and probably the vaccine is going to be mandatory even for the people, for the psychotherapist. And so I prefer to wait for a while and see what's happening in the future and to take another pathway.
Absolutely, absolutely. So why is that? Why have you chosen this path? What concerns you about the vaccines?
What's the concern about the vaccine? The fact that my relationship with the science is like quite a difficulty. I believe that the science is a global institution, and the science in particular is a subject of scientists. This is one of my thoughts. And there's two different kind of scientists, I would say. On one side, there's like very potent scientists. And the other side, there's very competent scientists. And unlikely, the most exposed to the mass media are the potent scientists, which they have knowledge, but we don't know how they use the knowledge. So one of the main keywords that you can hear repeat to the people that they get the vaccine is like, I believe in science. Okay, if we try to analyze the word belief and how belief works within ourselves, how I do come to believe something, how do I make a value to something? It's like I take an information from somewhere, I consider these informations, and then I act with faith. So I trust that information, right? This is how Absolutely. I formulate my value. The problem with that is like the relationship between like local local institutions, regional institutions, national institutions, and global institutions, it's very complex. And the corruptions, it's not like the corruption has been existed since ever. So, and between all of this level of relationship between institutions, corruptions can occur. So I don't have all this faith within me to trust the science as it is presented to me. I don't know if I make it clear, if I can make it clear, but it's very hard to trust the science while the level of while the relationship between all the institutions is so wide, is so global, that's the faith means like having like a kind of intimate relationships with a scientist. But that is very complex. One of the solutions would be like if there is a community scientist, which we pay them and they do research, and because we give the money to them, then we can trust them. But the problem with that is a democratic problem, because this scientists are paid mainly by multinationals.
Yep.
And the government is elected by the people. And if the governments follow the guideline of the scientists, actually is following the guideline of scientists that they are paid by the multinational. It doesn't follow anymore the needs of the people that they live within the country. So that is like a democratic like issues between the two, between the relation between the governments and the scientists and the people and the governments.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you only need to look at the revolving door between the CDC and the pharmaceutical companies. It's the same people just going from job to job. They set the rules and then they go and reap the reward. And there's certainly been a lot of people made an awful lot of money out of what's been going on. So
Many of them, they make a lot of money. And that is one of the main problems. If there is also like an interest of making a lot of money, then looking after the health could become like a second goal for the people that they try to make a lot of money. So if they have to maintain all of these institutions and like all over the world, and somehow they have to pay everyone and they have to share the profit, that's become a big problem, having people that they are healthy around the world, because then you won't be able to achieve what is your goal, what is your plan. Normally all the business, when they set a goal, they set a goal in 5 years' time, 10 years' time, 20 years' time. And they prepare themselves very well. And they study a lot. They create strategy for it. And they do the best they can to make sure they can reach the goal. And whatever they encounter as a difficulty, they have to remove it. And if the people like confrontation is that as it is an issue for them, they have to remove it. And how they remove the issues and the confrontation from the people that they don't trust in them, it's like by using the media. Because one of the strategy of one of the hypnotic strategy is using like authority, the scientist, and emotions like fear of dying, and then another authority that give you the solution to solve the problem that they create, and which is like taking the vaccine. If you lay down in a bed with a hypnotist, the first thing that he said is follow my voice, listen to my voice. Yep. And he keep repeating the same things over and over again. And it goes deeper and deeper and deeper. And the more deeper it goes, and the hardest your emotions are touched by the information that he gave it to you. That's why you're going to change your behavior by listening to him changing the trigger of your emotions. So it's, yeah, this is what they are doing. So, yeah.
Yeah. Do you have a view on why the media has brought into it so much?
Well, I believe the media is like a tool. And I don't know if all of them, they are lying, but all of them, they comply. It's like if you work in a place, I've been a working class person, so I've been working like a normal person. And if you work in a place where your boss tells you to do something and you are not agree, and it's much more like it, if you want to get paid, you do what it has been told you to do. And so it's like the form of pervasive silence all over the people, even if they know that they're holding within themselves a monster, like something very, very nasty, something very, very destructive. Because what's happening right now, it's terrific. It's horrible. Yeah. And this is what the media are doing. They most of them, they are so tight, and they try to keep probably their job. They will accept to do whatever they ask them to do. And they are so afraid of talking. At the university, I couldn't talk with my colleagues, with my classmate about the as soon as I try to raise I didn't say that I'm no vax. I say, can we try to talk about the side effect and how we can face a person that come to us and say, my son's 60 years old, is passed away after the vaccine, 2 days after. I'm going to face that, but what I'm going to say to her,
yep.
How I'm going to hold the pain that she's passing to me by telling her that's not the vaccine. No, I can't do that. We need to face these things. And most of my psychotherapy students, they supposed to like explore, and actually they shut me down, the lecture too. So it was like very aggressive. Was a very, very aggressive and fascist approach that they use against me.
It's amazing, but I guess when you see what's happening around the world and universities all over the place, I guess it's not that surprising, is it? There is this real level of compliance and going along with the narrative. If you don't go along with the narrative, then you do get sidelined. That's very clear. Yeah. So is it just been this vaccine in particular, or have you had concerns about other vaccines as well? What's your background in the area?
Yeah, well, I've been following like anti-vax theory, I would say, since yeah, and my son is not vaxxed. I don't believe that we need to treat like and children as potential like a human being that can get a disease. I believe that there is some form of preventions, and especially eating good food. And now it's eating good food is a very generic statement, and we should go deep into it and see what is the good food. But some of the person that they follow and they like the most, and some of the experience that's been shared from other people, It's like using fasting as a therapy and using fruit and vegetable as a form of cure, and a specific vegetable and specific fruits. I'm not an expert on it, but I know that some of them, they can help you a lot. For example, with the liver's problem, if you eat green leaves, that can clean up your bloodstream. And we know that everyone knows that the green leaves is very a very important element for our body. So if we can use it, that's very important for us. So I would say that one of my best way of treat any form of disease is like try to correct the form of like diet that I have, doing medications and other like personal development exercise. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So I guess I'm just trying to understand how you actually came to go down this path. At what point during your life did you realize that vaccines weren't for you, or standard medical approaches weren't for you? What led you on that journey?
Well, I believe that's one side of my personality is a paranoid personality.
Right.
Which is like, maybe we'll talk about it later, but one of the things is like, each of us are a bit by difference, like identity or personality. And one of my personality is probably is like a terrifying personality, which is like create doubt around any form of like information that they receive. And because of that, then I have to look into it very precisely. And I'm very attached to the world. And they've been studying NLP, neurological linguistic programming, which they use the word to link specific emotions or use the word to change the meaning of a word. If I say the vaccine is safe, you're going to think that the vaccine is safe. And if I am an expert, you're going to trust me, right? Normally, you shouldn't, but normally you do. But if I say the vaccine is not safe, well, then it's another statement related to a specific word. They give another meaning to the specific word that I just share with you, right? So vaccine is safe, or vaccine is freedom, or vaccine is whatever it is, vaccine is beauty, vaccine is happiness. So this is all like communication strategy that has been used by the media, politicians, and pharmaceutical company, I would say.
Absolutely.
So I come so one of the reasons is why I try to look into it, and then I end up to probably on the Vaxed website, and I remember that there was a lot of testimonial of mom that they were saying that after the vaccine that kids pass away, or after the vaccine that the kids are autoimmune disease or cancer or any other form of disgusting pathology caused by the vaccine. And to any times they used to go to the doctor keep repeating to them, no, it's not the vaccine, there is no correlations. And this is another problem, because the difference between correlation and causation is anytime something occur and something else occur after that, there is a correlation. If I eat an ice cream and then I fall, that is a correlation. Now we have to see if the causation is the ice cream, because maybe I was eating the ice cream and they didn't see the cells and then I fall. So there is also causations. But anytime there is a correlation, anytime something occurs after that, there's a correlation. The causations, if there is a lot of correlation, we have to investigate the causation.
Yep, absolutely.
And they don't do it because it's inconvenient. And it's very complicated if the scientists have not found it to find the causation of the vaccine as damage for the people that they get vaccinated. For example, now with the COVID vaccine, they should look, what's it called, when the people have passed away, you should do the autopsy.
Autopsy, yep.
Yeah, the autopsy. And you need money, but if they don't fund them, or if they don't let them do it, if they don't let the doctor do it, how do they found the causation of the death? They were not able to do it. And when something new occurred to the doctor, like this new form of, like, blood clots, they never saw those kind of things. They are like they don't know. It's a new thing, and they need time to clarify what is these new things coming out of the body of the people after the vaccine. Maybe it's not a vaccine, maybe it's something that has been in them before. So it's a very complicated thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I just recall the Prime Minister standing up when I think it was a girl that died at one of the colleges, and she stood up almost immediately and said it wasn't related to the vaccine. And you just really have to ask. I mean, A, she had absolutely no knowledge of whether that was the case or not, but that constant messaging around the vaccines are safe, get vaccinated, and there's no recognition at all of any potential harm.
No.
It's terrible, it really is. Do you know anyone personally that's had an adverse reaction?
Well, there is one of my classmates, and her mom, she got the vaccine, and she has ended up in the hospital with ischemia. Yeah.
Right.
So she was not able to talk for several days. Unfortunately, she recovered partially, but not completely. So yeah, that's one of the cases that I know personally.
And did your classmate put that down to the vaccine?
She's one of her mom. She did the vaccine. She tried to stop her mom, but she was not able. And they tried to stop my mom too, but
right,
I was not able to do it.
Yeah, I've had similar experiences in my own family. Really.
Yeah, I get very angry with my mom. Mm.
Yeah, and that's one of the horrific things that the government's doing, is especially with a lot of young people. They want to live their lives. They want to go out and have fun. They want to be able to go to concerts. And they're really driving that home.
Yeah, and you see how they make the people's life insignificant. Because when you offer an hamburger to a person to get vaccinated, or I had a ride on Voice for Freedom Telegram groups, like $50,
yeah, that's right, yeah.
Like a Coca-Cola or a beer, this is means that the value that they gave it to you, that the government gave it to you, it's so low that your behavior, your decisions, your life can be determined by a drink, by an hamburger, by the most stupid things. One of the stories that I'd like to share is like, it's given by Jordan Peterson. He's a clinical psychologist in Canada.
Yes.
And they said that, you know him.
I do, absolutely.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I like him very much.
Yes, me too.
And I follow him very much. And they say what they did, what happened to Pinocchio. Pinocchio has been taken in the amusement park. But under the amusement park, there are all of these monsters over there. That they try to transform them in donkey so they can use the kids to do whatever they need to do and transform them in slaves. But to make sure they can be transformed in donkey, right, and enslaved, they offer to them the most stupid amusement, the most stupid ones. So this is what he said. This is what's happening. They offer to you the most stupid amusements, and they buy your soul with a beer. And that is the most disgusting things, and probably also the most smartest things, because after 50 years of, like, I would say, a mental transformations and hypnotic campaign, it's so easy to buy, like, the freedom of the people with a beer.
Yeah, yeah. Except the problem is, I guess, you're not buying your freedom. You're getting back a few privileges that the government lets you have. They have it long, they let them have, that you have them for, before they take it away again. That's not great. So, I mean, you're not going to be able to complete your master's. You're going to lose your job as well. How's that impacting you personally? What's going on for you?
Well, one of the things that I noticed is, like, to pay my study, I was working in a restaurant as a pizza chef, because I've been working with kids, and then I've been making pizza when I was in Italy. I was traveling, and now apparently there would be a mandatory vaccine for my category too. And so this is my employer is a very nice person, but he can do anything. So if become a law, we can try to look into it, and we discuss about it. We can try to do the best as we can, and to make sure that maybe there will be like something like you know, like a little space, a narrow way that we can take in order to make sure that I can keep my job. But if this doesn't happen, we lose my job. my partner, she has been bullied at work in the Photoshop in workbook. And it was at the beginning, he said, no, don't do the vaccine. No, there is no problem. And then to start, he started to say, okay, you should get the vaccine. And then he say, no, that's okay. Don't get the vaccine. It's not a problem. And then he say, listen, I have to be straightforward. You need to do the vaccine. So she is emotionally, she was not able to hold it. And so she quit.
Right.
And then she lost her job. So so this is the situation almost. She lost her job. I'm going to lose my job. And that's like a dramatic situation. And all the people that I see, the teacher of my son, they're two of them, they lost their job because they don't want to do it. She said, she said, I don't want the things in my inside of my body, which is fair enough. I don't want the things inside of my body. Why you have to have something inside of your body you don't want?
Yeah. I confess I do not understand. I just find that incredibly. For me, it wouldn't matter if the vaccines were proven to be 100% safe and 100% effective. It's still a choice. It's, you know,
still a choice. Yes. Yeah. Because the science is not. We are not the object of the science.
No.
The science is the object of the scientist, and we can use the science if we want. If the science come to me with the most complex things, most complex thoughts, and discover, and come to me, and after studying 20 years, and then the scientists are very, very smart people, very intelligent people, otherwise they wouldn't be scientists. I can compete with them. And if I can compete with them, the only way that I can refer to them is by trust, as I said before, but it's also if I don't want to listen to you because I can understand what you are telling me, because I won't be able to understand a paper. I'm free. I must be free to use the power over myself against your offer.
Absolutely.
My power, it's much more, it's higher. It must be over in a kind of hierarchical scale. It has to be at the top level of everything, knowledge, intelligence, and any other form of any form of life. I need to be an authority and need to able to decide to use the science or not. So
absolutely your choice. And I mean, one of the key things about freedom is you're not free unless you can say no. And at the moment, people aren't being given the choice to say no. So you've put this program together called The Children Journey. Tell me about it. I've only seen the Telegram post and the picture, which looks fantastic.
This is because one of part of my diploma took me to know something about Jung, and Jung discovered the hero as an archetypal subject. So the archetype are dynamic, a symbol that represent dynamic symbol of the life. And all of us, we are sharing a collective unconscious. Somehow before we were born, something was present before we were born, and it's passed to us, and it's been passed to us. And archetypal are those symbols that are repeating themselves to all generations everywhere around the world. And the hero journeys is one of the ways to transform the life of the people from normal, ordinary, and I would say unfulfilled life to a more complex, fulfilled, creative, deep, and it through a transformative pathway. So there is a kind of call which, for example, if you end up in a depression, so in a situation, a separation, so any form of difficulties, that is the call, right? So you receive a call. If you deny the call keep coming back. So you can become a pathology or whatever, but it keep coming back to you. This means you have to face the problem that is presented in front of you. And then you go down deeper. It's much more complicated for the adults, but for the kid it would be simple. and that you get, you have to go down deeper. And as Peter explained very well, you have to face your monster, fight the monster, and then you return to your community and share the information that you gain by fighting the monster within yourself. So you somehow transform yourself and enter the realm of self, which is like the unions, the deep union with the present moment, the reality with all the human beings right now, right here, and forever. It's it's a way to get out of like the death and rebirth life. So it's a way of creating like a new, for example, for the kids, the fairy tales are the same. So all the kids, if you read Hansel the Greater, for example, there is the evil mother that abandoned them, and then they have to fight the witch. They are attracted by the ginger house, the chocolate house. And so they have to fight the witch, kill the witch, and then they go back to their father and save them by took to him like the treasures. And this will be one of the things that I'm going to do with the kids. So I was writing now a few of the things. And so there will be like a moment in which we present each other. We will use like imaginations. So we will try to imagine like two big guardians at the enter of the bush. And they are the guardian of the unknown. So we will met them, and they are very scary guardian. At that point, we would need to use with the kids the imaginations. We need to see this huge guardian looking the door of the unknowns, so no one can go in and get out unless they let the kids or us get in the unknown world. And the unknown world would let the kids to discover aspect of their life that they never discover, which is could be the imaginations of, for example, an emotion, a negative emotion like fear, in a form of like a monster. And so and now I'm writing the program and try to make it like
fantastic. I'm just going to read what you've got on your cover that you posted on Telegram. A magical journey on the edge of reality to develop gratitude, courage, and concentration. That's that's incredible. That's it sounds really inspiring and fantastic for children. Are you looking at doing an adult program as well, or?
Yeah, I'll do another program later on, but I prefer to start with kids. I believe it's easy with them, and it's fun. And but I would like to work with adults later on. Yes.
Yeah. And you've obviously got connections with other parents as well, and as well as your own your son. Did you say your son?
Yeah.
So how have they found what's been going on in terms of the lockdowns and the mask wearing and the stress that a lot of adults are under?
Well, what I see, it's like a lot of pain. I see that all the discussion between the people and there has been transformed, and the topic is the life is became a kind of monotopic, and the only discussions they are like around the COVID-19. And everyone says to talk about COVID-19, but sometimes when you talk about COVID-19, which is fill up the brain of everyone, right? When you talk about the COVID-19, the people start to say, oh, we talk about only COVID-19. So there's a kind of dynamic, which is, okay, I'm talking about the most important things that occur in my life right now, which is COVID-19. And also the other people, sometimes they accept it, sometimes not. So when they don't accept it, you feel guilty. And that is one of the emotions that emerge, because you say, probably I should have been talking about something else. And most of the parents that they come to you and talk about these things are very, very scared. But the one that they are losing their job, today was, I went for a walk with some of the members, and one lady, she's a nurse, and she said, I try to be active in the group now because I have no job and I'm a single mom. Mm-hmm. And this is means I need to pay my bills, and that is very scary, because when you have no money, there is a kind of beautiful pyramid of Maslow. When you have enough money to pay the bills and then and to pay the food, then you can start step over and start to do educations and then spirituality or the other aspects of life, right? Mm-hmm. You can develop yourself. But if you have not like food and shelter, so the food and house, a place to sleep, then your life is a hell. It's completely hell. There is nothing that can save you. Unless you are, I don't know, a saint and you're going to live in the forest and eating roots, but that is a very hard thing. You know,
yeah.
Every people need a house and food, because it would be very complicated for a person that has no house and no food to create even a social circle or having friends. Who is going to stay with you? It's people that have nothing to sustain themselves. They're going to be happy for the society. And that's other people that they need more energy.
Yeah.
But if you take away from them everything that they can use for survive, this is what you're going to create. And this is what they're going to do. They taking away from people all the tools and all the possibility of being independent and live with dignity, because without money, you have no dignity. The money are not essential, but very important, you know.
Yeah, that's right. It's very isolating, isn't it? And it's just creating a huge amount of stress on people. It's it's hard to know where it's going to go. I guess the only thing you can say really is none of us are alone in this. There's a lot of people fighting the fight and doing what we can, but when it hits you personally, it's pretty hard to cope with.
Yeah.
Yep.
Fortunately, I'm still able to pay the bills and having a wage. So that's the only way that I can keep fighting and sustain the community. Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. So I've got a bunch of other stuff. I guess I'd be quite interested to know what, do you know anything about what's happening in Italy at the moment?
Yeah. In Italy, like 3 weeks ago, the beautiful events occurred. And was by the working class in the port in Trieste. Trieste right. is a small city in the northwest. Did you heard about it?
Yes.
Yeah. So they decide, some of them, they were like 1,000 of workers, and 400 of them, they were not vaccinated. And then all of them, vaccinated and unvaccinated, they decide to do a strike for 5 days. And the first declaration was, we will strike until the governments will come to talk with us and will cancel all the vaccine mandate and the green pass, which is the vaccine passport. So they started to do the strike over there, and they have been there for 5 days, and they wanted to do it, they want to keep going with it. And the people were coming from all over Italy and bring them food and support, and they were sleeping out of the port. But the last day, the police arrived with the hydrants and then washed them away. and they locked the port. Yeah. They locked the port. And since then, when the difficulties start to raise, what's the support from the people that were fighting start to, become less tight. And so they move anyway. They move in the central square of the city. And somehow they got like a meeting with one of the minister, and they told the minister that they want to cancel the green pass and the vaccine mandate and another and was another requirement and say sorry for what the police have done to them,
right?
Like with their hydrants. They kept doing like protests until the day that the government should give to them an answer, and the government didn't give them any answer. And in response to that, the local council raised the level of alert, and they start to say that the COVID-19 emergency was raising, so it was much more COVID positive.
Right.
And they start to say the protest was like canceled, the people they couldn't protest anymore, and if they do protest, they have to wear the mask and maintain social distance. So in Saturday, this Sunday, in response to that, not only Trieste, but all the cities, I would say over 20, 25 cities in Italy. And there is like 57 million of Italian citizens over there. So there is much more than here. There was 100,000 of people in over 25 cities protesting against the Green Pass, which is the vaccine passport. And also in Trieste, where was forbidden to do a protest, it was 100,000 of people protesting without mask, without any form of social distancing respecting any rules. What they have done, they have been locked half of the city center, so the people, they couldn't access the city center. But it's, the movement is quite strong. It's very intense in Italy, and give you some hope when you see a lot of people moving. So, so much enthusiasm, especially when I saw some of them repeating their om or doing meditation together or sing songs, dancing together. That was like absolutely fantastic, because you are if you are positive, you can, you have still the hope of you know, win. Yeah, if they don't destroy your mood, yes.
Yeah, that's amazing. I've seen some of the pictures coming out over there. That I guess there's a couple of things, isn't there? One of them, it's, you don't never see anything about that on the mainstream media here. You have people turning up on radio saying that everyone's accepting it, and you know, and there's a couple of people that haven't, but it's, you know, it's all calm and everyone's accepting it. But you, when you see those pictures coming out, as you say, of 100,000 people in a city centre, you get a different story. So it would be great if the media actually told the truth and reported the other side of the story sometime. The other thing is that this real clampdown by governments around the world on protests, and if anyone that disagrees with their narrative is getting hammered really hard. I mean, we've seen it in Australia, and particularly in Melbourne, in France as well, and Italy. It's just... it's difficult, isn't it, when, you know, governments are meant to serve the people, and they've stepped a long, long way from that.
It's incredible what they are doing. And they're doing, like, they're doing it, like, somehow they, to the people that they try to protest, the government is very repressive. But somehow it's the fact that they are so repressive and so nasty with the people is always hidden to the main public audience. It's always hidden from the main public audience. I saw, like, there was like a little protest when Jacinta went a few days ago, and she tried to talk in an open space, and there was that was a video thing. So the risk of being in a situation where there are like people that they protest, they expose you to the truth, and you don't know how to answer to them. And And other than what I tried to listen to her like 2 or 2 weeks ago about what was her decisions around the vaccine, why the vaccine was not compulsory. She repeated the word vaccine, I don't know, in 20 minutes, probably 50 times, even more. Vaccine is safe, vaccine is freedom. We need to be vaccinated. The only way is the vaccine, because if you get the vaccine, you're going to be safe. You can see your friends. And if you love your friends, you get a vaccine. So it was like vaccine. Vaccine friends, vaccine safe, vaccine freedom, vaccine. Yeah, was like, and that's, it was obsessive. It's like, when it's the pathological way of communicating with the people. Because a person that's, for example, living with an obsessed compulsive disorder, so it's very afraid of the dirt, for example. So it has to clean everything. And the person see the dirt every time. And the fact that they see the dirt every time place her in a level of alert. So you enter in the mode of fight and flight. You know that mode, right? Or you fight or you fly. So you're always tense. You're never relaxed because there is always dirt to clean. And the obsessive thought is like, it's dirt, 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 dirt. And the person has to clean, 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 clean all the time. There is no way to get out of it. And the same strategy has been used by them. And the people keep repeating within themselves, the mainstream audience, they keep repeating within themselves unconsciously, vaccine is safe, vaccine is good, vaccine and friends, vaccine and freedom. and you don't hear this voice. But when you know that you go close to a vaccine center, you feel safe. You don't know why, but you feel safe. And it doesn't matter if the vaccine is going to kill you. The fact that they keep repeating the vaccine is safe make you feel safe.
Yeah. Yeah. They're very good at it. You've got to give them some credit, I suppose.
Yeah.
Do you think it's going to, I'm interested in your thoughts on the sort of the vaccinated population, whether they're likely to continue to exclude vaccinated people, no matter what the rules are, or whether, and I know you haven't been in New Zealand that long, but I'm just trying to understand, New Zealand sort of has a egalitarian type approach, or at least we're used to, and I'm not sure whether we'll continue to want to exclude people based on vaccination status. Do you have any thoughts on that at all?
I don't think that we stop. And I believe that the words egalitarian has been misused, and probably this is not the best moment for them to use it. And probably the best word to use for them is like, what I see from, for example, Sabrina, my partner, employer, is terrified. She is terrified of working in the same place, in the same environments with her. Was like very, very scary. Was almost disgusting. And that is one of the things that we have to consider. So there are very potent emotions. And so it's a very, very potent negative emotion that emerge within the people. And because if they are safe with the vaccine, they are very, very, very unsafe without vaccine. And this is create a huge divisions. And I don't know if the government has to do a lot, but one of the things that is going to happen for sure is like that the people that they got the vaccine, the most part of the people that they got the vaccine, naturally would like to exclude from their life the people that didn't get vaccine, because they are a threat for them. So you don't go and swim in a crocodile, like in a lake where there is a crocodile, right? And if you see me as a crocodile, you don't want to stay around me. If anytime you see a person, this person offend you, you don't feel well with that person. So you try to avoid that person. And if you know that this person can transmit to you an hypothetical virus, even if there is no reason or logic around the vaccine, because we know that vaccinated people can pass and receive the virus and so on. So they are like hypnotized. Yeah, they are safe. And to maintain the safeness, they have to be away from the people that are not safe. And the people that are not safe create like negative emotion, like disgust, fear, and anger, resentment, and hatred. And the society would be divided by the people that they love to be saved and look after the government.
It's a pretty scary picture, isn't it?
Probably this is would be the direction. Unless there's going to be like a very strong reactions from the unvaccinated people, and like a beautiful connections from between them. I would say people that they got the vaccine and the people that didn't get the vaccine, and if we try to stay with them, and especially even with the police force, because I believe that anytime there is a conflict, the police force is between the power and the people. And I think we need to consider the police force as part of us. Yeah. There is no.
Yeah, that's right. I guess the other part of that is, from what I've seen, is people that have been vaccinated, they want to be rewarded for their good behaviour and for their compliance. So that's why, you know, they're wanting freedoms that unvaccinated people don't have, because they were good citizens and they went out and did what they were told. Whereas logically, you should be rewarded because the vaccine's meant to protect you from this virus. So isn't that your reward? So it's it's very strange.
You should never any rewards. Yeah. And normally the reward is given by the people when they try to control you. So you do that with your son when he's 3 years old and he behaves and you give him an ice cream, or he behaves and you give him a cuddle. So this is what you do to educate the people. But to make them do whatever you consider the best for them. But if the governments, and then we come back to the relationship of trust and believe. If the government is like, it doesn't want you to be the government, which is like 30% over there, they're not that many, doesn't want to educate you in a way that you're going to be the best person possible in your life, then it's a problem. That is a big problem. Because if they use the same skill to make you misbehave and create confusion within yourself, you're going to live a hell of life, a destructive and terrible life. This is what's happened. And this is what they are doing. Because when you try to confront the people that they got the shot and they are so safe, if you try to enter between the two worlds, the vaccine and safety, and if you try to, like, you know, they construct this statement, stupid statement, they panic and they run away from you. I have been in the same situation with many people vaccinated, and they say, okay, let's sit down and talk. I show you what I know, show me what you know. We go deeper as much as you want. I did that with my classmate. No one, even the lecturer, wanted to sit with me and discuss point by point all the aspects of the vaccine and COVID and pandemic things and whatever. Yep. No one. So, yeah.
Yeah, that sums it up, doesn't it, really? If they can't talk about it, they know they're in the wrong, don't they? It's just that they've got some sort of disconnect going on. Now, listen, I've taken up a lot of your time. Thank you very much. Really, really appreciate it. Is there anything that I haven't asked that I should have asked, or anything else you'd like to add?
Yeah, I would let you. Well, what I learned during my up to now studying is like, when there is something that you need to face, probably it would be great to know when we go for a protest, to know that there is some goal. And I would like to point the attentions of the people on what is the main issues, which is created by the multinational, which is Pfizer. And they see that the government has been taken to the court many times already, a few times, several times already. And I was wondering if there is any chance to think about taking to the court of Pfizer instead of the government. That would be one of the things that I would like to share. And I would like to know if there's any legal pathway that can be taken in order to confront them instead of the government, which is the origin of the problem is over there, I believe.
Yeah, it's a good question, isn't it? I know there are a number of different court cases going on around the world, but none of them seem to be particularly targeted at Pfizer or the other pharmaceutical companies, as far as I'm aware. And I imagine a big part of that is because they're protected by the governments. And of course, they've got their no liability as well, haven't they? So I guess it makes it pretty hard. But it'll certainly be very interesting to see what happens over the next few years as this rolls out and it becomes more and more apparent that, you know, what is actually happening to people. There's going to be some very upset people. There's no doubt about that. Mm. Yeah. But Diego, thank you very, very much. I really, really appreciate your time. I've really enjoyed the discussion. It's been great.
Thank you very much, Alan.
It was nice to talk to you. And we'll definitely stay in touch. I hope everything works out. I know you've got some tough times ahead. But yeah, keep talking. And there's other people in similar boats, and there's plenty of people that are will do what they can to help.
Well, I hope you enjoyed listening to Diego as much as I enjoyed talking to him. As I said at the beginning, he's a man of integrity and honour, standing on his principles for what he believes is right. Jacinda Ardern, the New Zealand government, governments all around the world, why aren't you listening to people like this? Where is your kindness? Where is your compassion? Until next week.